Thank you for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show. If you missed our impact segment, there's a new article on ESPN.com about NFL running back Arian Foster, who has come out and said that he is a non-believing grown man. He says that he doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist. He's jumped in on an organization, a nonprofit called Openly Secular. They say they plan on using his story to increase awareness and acceptance of non-believers, especially in sports. So what it is about Christians, Christian faith, manhood? Dr. Mark Baker is here in studio. Dr. Baker is the executive director of Levee Counseling Centers. We share a lot, talk a lot with Doc Baker, and he's both a licensed clinical psychologist and a marriage and family therapist. And Mark, it's good to see you. Thanks for being back on the program.
Good to see you, Frank. It's always good to be here.
Now, we're talking a little bit about, on your drive-in, about Arian Foster and manhood and Christianity. And what is it about a Christian man? I mean, if someone says, you know, why Christianity? Share some of your thoughts. I would imagine you probably even have some research or some things you want to share.
Tons. I was listening to you on the way in, and I think that's a really interesting conversation. There's always somebody, and it's in the definite minority, but there's always somebody that says, you know what, that doesn't make any sense to me. Religion can't be good. Well, look at all the bad things that have happened in the name of religion. I don't want to be that. I'm going to be atheist, and they're going to create their own religion. Because atheism is a religion, by the way. It takes faith to be an atheist. Actually, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist because they believe that there isn't anything, any God, any creator. When I look around, there's just too many evidence to the contrary. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Let's just put it that way. Because they believe there is no God. But, you know, what he doesn't realize and what people don't realize who take that position is that in the last couple of decades, there's tons of psychological research on why be a Christian, why be religious is the way they research it. And a lot of this research is by non-believers because they've been asking this question. So what's the benefit of religion is the way they put it. And there are hundreds now of psychological studies that document that there's all kinds of what they call pro-social benefits with being religious. It is healthy to be a Christian, meaning you will recover from surgeries faster, you will live longer, you will actually enjoy sex more. Believe it or not, it's actually true. And here's an interesting one. They've studied smokers. If you smoke and go to church, you'll live longer than if you smoke and don't go to church. I mean, it's ridiculous, the numbers of studies that we've shown that says, whoa, something is really going on in people's lives when they turn to God and they see the tangible benefits in their life. They're very specific tangible benefits in their lives that are quite real. And the researchers try to explain this, and they say, well, you know, it's because they're a part of a group, and social benefits help people in some kind of strange way. But you and I know that it's the miraculous experience of a living God that comes into your life that changes you and empowers you to do better, to live better. You know, I'm always, Frank, I'm always inspired by you because I heard you say when I was driving in that you didn't become a Christian until you were 54. I love adult converts. You know, I had been a Christian for 40 years when I was 54. And so being around adult converts inspires me because it's all new and you're excited. I kind of feel like the older brother in the prodigal son story, you know, or I should be as excited as Frank is because this is all new and it's real. And you can contrast your personal life to the life you have now. You know.
No doubt.
It's real. The benefits, the decisions you make are wiser. The wisdom you have is greater. Now, after having said all that, I can say that it doesn't make us all better to become Christians. I mean, I spend my life working with Christians and helping them get out of trouble and make better choices and recover from divorce and all kinds of problems. We still have problems. I mean, becoming a Christian doesn't mean you don't still have stuff to work on, you don't still have problems. Obviously, my whole life is dedicated to that. But there's a power source there that inspires us and empowers us to deal with life better and to be more functional because of it. And I see it, and there's scientific studies to prove that. And when people go into the Crusades and they want to go down that path with you, oh my gosh, religion is awful because the stuff that's happened hundreds of years ago. Let's talk about what's happening right now in the lives of people who have accepted Christ and they're going to church and they're trying to commit themselves to a godly path. Their lives are better. And I don't have to tell you that because you know it. You know, you've experienced it. But scientists have studied this, and we've got tons of research to substantiate that.
Dr. Mark Baker is my guest from Levee Counseling Centers. You know, we've got the men's gathering coming up in 2 weeks from tomorrow. And I know part of the reason why you agreed to be on is you want to talk more about men's issues,
right?
Christianity as men. Talk about some of your thoughts about that. And then when we come back in the next segment, I've got some specifics I want to get into with you.
Well, obviously, you can tell from what I'm saying, I think that what all people need is a relationship with God, and that it gives them a resource to empower them to live more functional lives. And I see that in my counseling. I've been a psychologist for 25 years. And when people come in and I know that they're believers, I know that that's going to help them in their treatment. Now, I work with unbelievers too, and I help them. But we always hit a wall at certain places where there's something missing that empowers them to want to be loving, to want to make the right choices. And when I work with Christians, not that they don't have problems, they do. There's a power source there. So let me say first, what all people need is a relationship with God. It will help you. And then specifically, it's asked the question, what do men need today? What do Christian men need today? And what I think I've seen over the years is that Christian men need intimacy with other men. They need that. I've experienced that in the work that I do in my consultation room. I've experienced that in my own life in the men's group that I've been involved with. I just had lunch today with guys that I've been in a men's group with for over 20 years, and we still meet. And I benefit from their counsel. They benefit from mine. We hold each other accountable. We pray for each other. And there is an intimacy that comes from that isn't like intimacy with women. I believe that I'm a better husband today because of the intimacy I have with the men in that group. I'm able to say things to them, they're able to say things to me that helps me be a better lover of my wife because of my relationship with these men. And most men in our culture today see other men as in competition with them. So they're isolated, they have a couple of guys to hang out with or go to the bars with or maybe play sports with, but they're not intimate with them. And that creates a psychological deficit in their life that men today and Christian men today need intimacy with other men to help them be better fathers, better husbands, better employees, better employers, because there's something that happens in that intimacy with other men that they can't get anywhere else.
Dr. Mark Baker is my in-studio guest. Levy Counseling Centers, I highly support. That's one of the reasons why we have Doc Baker on very regularly. And as he said, as followers of Christ, doesn't mean we're free from struggle. Quite the opposite. But it gives us an opportunity to truly work on healing. And when we get back for our next segment, I want to talk about healing. You made mention of men. Culture tends to promote, as you said, this mindset of, well, no, I'm a guy. Why would I want to hang out with other guys? And so we just kind of alienate ourselves. When the reality is accountability, brotherhood, all of that stuff speaks largely into so many of our lives. LevyCounseling.org is their website. If you need some help, if you need some attention, healthy people get help. And Dr. Baker has committed his life to helping others as well. LevyCounseling.org. We'll continue with one more with Dr. Baker, and more of the Frank Sontag Show is next. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Mark Baker from Levy Counseling Centers is my in-studio guest. Today, because of the men's gathering coming up in 2 weeks, we're mostly trying to focus on men, men's issues. What do men need? What do we need as Christian men? And so Doc Baker said he'd be glad to come in for a little while and share his ideas and expertise on such things. Mark, we were talking before about kind of culture and men that are raised in a secular mindset, that to be defined as a man means you're a tough guy, self-assured, mm-hmm. don't need anybody, not in touch with your feelings.
Right.
Then as men of Christ, or even men that develop a deeper understanding of purpose in life, and we tend to recognize it's almost the opposite of that. Can you talk a little bit more about this idea of who we are as men, and maybe even integrate a little bit of the reality of woundedness? You know, a lot of men, I think statistically 80% are raised in a household where dad's not there physically or emotionally. Right. And so we've got this, what we know as father wounds, and
yep.
Here we are trying to fake it as men.
Right, we are. That's absolutely right. Men are told from their society that we're supposed to be on our own, and other men are in competition with us. We don't go to conferences like women go to. We don't go to church like women go to church. We don't go to therapy like women go to therapy. Men are supposed to figure this out all on their own. And this is extremely unhealthy psychologically. We're not built that way to do that. We're built to be stronger as a result of our relationships with other men specifically. A good example of this is Friedrich Nietzsche. I mean, you know this name, the guy who wrote the Antichrist, the guy that fueled Hitler's Nazi movement with his Aryan race, men, tough guy kind of mentality. He was raised in a Christian home. And up until the age of 14, he was writing songs to praise God up until the age of 14. But his father died, and so he was raised by his mother, his grandmother, two aunts, and he had a younger sister. And they say there's no hell. There was absolutely no men in his life. And so these women were trying to...
You just offended a lot of women.
Sorry. Yeah, of course, there are a lot of very successful single moms out there raising.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't want to say that that's not true. But he was surrounded by nothing but women and had no men for him to turn to. And he ended up just falling away. He ended up falling away from the church. There's some people who argue that he was still a Christian, but he was just angry with Christians. But I don't care. He did a lot of damage to the church. And I think one of the key reasons was he had no intimacy with other Christian men. And it hurt him. It definitely hurt him. And he was wounded the rest of his life because of that. Whatever father wounds he had never got healed. And so for those of us out there who are men who struggle with their relationships with their dad, which I did, I struggled with my relationship with my dad. It was a lot of work for me to repair that. That is a critical issue in your life. You need other men to help you repair your father wound. You don't want to go the way of Nietzsche. I don't care how smart the guy was. He did a lot of damage to the church because of this woundedness that never got healed. He had an axe to grind that was causing him to be this way. And there are a lot of men in our culture today who won't go to church, they won't go to therapy, they won't go to anything where they've got to be vulnerable because they've got a woundedness that's not healed in them. And the thing that I am so grateful for about the men's gathering that you're doing is that it gives men an opportunity to open up about that. What men with other men can do is they're vulnerable in a way that they're not vulnerable with other women. They can get to these deeper issues that they believe only another man can understand. And, you know, women are often threatened by men who hang out with other guys, or they get involved in men's things, and they feel maybe a little jealous of the time, and they wonder what guys are talking about. Well, trust me, it's the safest thing your guy can do is to be involved with other guys. And they're not going as deep emotionally as you think they are. You're not getting cheated when your guy is out there hanging out with other guys. It's a struggle for them to actually get to the vulnerable place. But when they do with another guy, something gets healed there that can only get healed there. And that's some of the work that I do in therapy with guys. I work mainly with men who come, and we deal with these father wounds, these issues that have been tears in their soul that they've carried around for decades, just hiding from other men. So what men need is intimacy with other men. Christian men need this. They need transparency. They need honesty. They need courage. Because it takes courage for you to really open yourself up to another guy and say, this is who I really am. I've seen men confess to other men things that they would never confess to another woman. And that acceptance and that willingness of another man to come alongside you and deal with these deeper emotions that, let's face it, we're not good at doing, brings about a healing that can only happen in that venue. I mean, women's brains are actually different than men's brains. They have a greater emotional vocabulary than we do, which is why we don't want to fight with them, because we're outgunned. So what we typically do is fall silent. When we get in fights with our wives, we just, you know, don't say anything. We withdraw. We stonewall is the term for it. And so women get angry and they pound on us because they've got all these words and emotions that are flying around the room. And we go, we don't know how we feel. We need other men to help us develop that vocabulary of emotion, to empower us to deal with these wounds that we can't get at in any other way.
Dr. Mark Baker is my guest. Mark, as you just shared so much very powerful information, what kind of went through my mind is this. You're a man who's dedicated your life to healing, in the healing arts, helping Christian men mostly Christian men with these struggles and wounds. There's guys listening right now that know they've got woundedness, right, that may even have told themselves, I'm okay,
right,
I'm hanging in there. the idea of going to see a Christian counselor may be a bridge where they don't want to walk across. As a man who's dedicated your life in this profession, talk about the absolute benefit of healing from both, obviously, men and women that are willing to start examining some of these wounds.
Right. It's obviously for both. Women are more aware that they need that than men because we're not as in touch with our emotions. We're just not. We don't have the brains to do it. We've been, not been socialized to do it. I mean, women are, little girls are sitting around, you know, I've got twins, a girl and a boy, and my little daughter is sitting around, you know, drinking tea and talking about her feelings, and the boy is just knocking things down and running around outside. He's just not wired to be emotional. So we absolutely need to recognize, we as men, that there's an area there of resource that will help us want to be a man among other men, not a man above other men. That what happens for men is, because we are not good at emotions, as we develop a kind of arrogance, or we call it grandiosity in psychology, where we think we need to be above other men, over them. And that style of leadership, we now know, doesn't work. You've got to, you know, lead from within, which is Jesus taught us. You know, servant leadership, we now know, is the most powerful form of leadership. And men who are out there still trying to be above other men with their grandiosity and narcissism, basically, they're doing that because they have emotions that are unhealed, they're unaware of areas of their life, and they're not as effective. The men who have what we call emotional intelligence now are more powerful leaders, they're more effective men in their lives, and really that's what we help them do in therapy, is to get in touch with those emotions to be more effective. And they leave more powerful leaders, more successful executives, better husbands and better fathers, obviously.
Mark, we've got a few minutes. The question to me that is of the essence right now in this moment is that first step for some.
Right.
You know, from the outside looking in, maybe someone listening has dealt with the aftermath of some very horrible abuse, and yet you kind of get through life the way that you can, and yet sometimes that first step is the hardest one.
It is. It takes courage. It doesn't make you needy to recognize you have needs, and this is so hard for men. For me to say I need something, most men interpret that as a weakness, when in fact you were created by God to need. Your dependence upon God and recognition of that is a sign of health. And if you can recognize, wow, I actually need other men, I actually need help, I'm actually, for me to be dependent on someone else to help me is a sign of strength, not a weakness. This is a tough one for most men to realize. No, for you to recognize that you have needs is the first step for you becoming a more powerful man in your life. And your acceptance of that is just saying, I'm not God. I actually need. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not God. He's God. And I need. That's a sign of courage. And your life will be more powerful if you can accept, just like Adam failed to accept in the garden, I need to be dependent upon God and others. That's not a sign of weakness. That's just how I'm created to be. It's a step of courage for you to recognize that and make that call and say, you know, I need help. I'm going to go to the men's conference, or, you know, it's about time for me to seek counseling, or something that recognizes that having needs doesn't make you needy.
Dr. Mark Baker is Executive Director of LaVie Counseling Centers. If you would like to get a hold of Dr. Baker, you can do it a few ways. You can go to the website, which is laviecounseling.org. LaVie is LAVIE, laviecounseling.org. And or you can call their special toll-free line, 800-801-5242. 800-801-5242. And my prayer is that many of you, and you know who you are, maybe this is the moment in your life where you are courageous to take that first step, and Dr. Baker is just waiting to help you, counsel you, mentor you, and get you on the path of healing. 800-801-5242. Mark, thank you for coming in and sharing yet another glimpse into your life as a man that promotes God's laws and purposes, especially as men. And thanks for coming in and giving our men's gathering a nice boost. It's going to be a really powerful day 2 weeks from tomorrow. And just very grateful for you.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for everything you're doing. And especially thanks for doing the men's conference. It's very much needed in our culture today.